Clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us this election day for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart this afternoon. Well, along with the presidential race, voters in Illinois have plenty of other issues on their ballot. We'll discuss that coming up in our next segment. But right now, as mentioned, the economy is generally seen as being in pretty good shape as Americans choose their next leader. Joining us live on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute based in St. Louis. And Paul, let's sort of break this down into two parts here. Let's first talk about where the U.S. economy stands today as Americans head to the polls, and then what the next president inherits and will need to do moving forward.
Yeah, hi, Rachel. Good question. So the economy is really, it's a tale of two economies, actually. Services are very, very strong, and that we had new data out on this today, a survey of purchasing managers that showed services actually strengthening in the last month. But meanwhile, on the other side, manufacturing continues to struggle, and this is where interest rates play a key factor in differentiating between the two. As long as interest rates remain up where they are right now, it's really tough for manufacturing and for lower-income consumers, households. We need to get those interest rates down so those other folks can catch up.
Well, it just so happens that the Fed is set to meet tomorrow talking about those interest rates. Any forecasting there from your end?
Yeah, we think the Fed is comfortable. Look, their key indicator of inflation, which is called personal consumption expenditures price index, that is a little bit different from the consumer price index we all usually watch. And that the Fed's measure is down around 2%. 2.1% was the last reading just a few days ago, and that's right at their long-term target inflation rate. So the Fed sees, okay, inflation's under control, services are strong, we don't need to rush, but we do need to help manufacturing in those lower-income households. So we think a quarter point cut tomorrow and maybe another quarter point in December, maybe even continuing into next year till we get interest rates down a little bit more.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned that the Fed, you know, sees inflation as being under control, because I think this has been a staple of a lot of rhetoric we've seen in the presidential races of Americans needing more money in their pockets and not being able to afford everyday essentials. You know, does the Fed see a different vision than the average American? And obviously the U.S. economy would feel a lot different than one individual's finances.
Yeah, that's another good question. So when we go to the grocery store and we see the price of eggs is still high, mm-hmm. that bothers us. The price of milk and the price of meat and everything else there is still high. But for the Fed, the question is, how fast is it going up? It's a rate of change. That's inflation. And what the Fed wants to do is get inflation back down to 2%, give wages a chance to catch up so that the level of wages is higher, just as the level of prices is higher, and then people can go back to affording things again. But there's still quite a gap there. That's why it's an election issue.
Well, and let's also sort of broaden our perspective where historically, what does an election year mean for the economy? How much of it is predetermined and inherited by an incoming president? How much of it is then decided within a 4-year term? I think there's some timeliness here to consider.
Yeah, there is. And as for election year or even election day today, it's probably not a good idea to go out and run out and make trades based on whatever's happening today or even tomorrow or even early next week, if that's mm-hmm. how long it takes to count all the votes. because what the history of the markets shows is that markets can be surprised by elections and their results, but then they come back to, they revert back to their main driver, especially stocks, which are going to follow economic growth and earnings growth, which are closely tied. And then for the bond market, they're going to follow inflation, which the Fed is keeping an eye on. So eventually the markets will follow the economy. The president and Congress have an impact on that, of course, in policy. But if you get the base, our, what we think is our base case, and probably divided government, then you're not going to be in for really big changes. And markets tend to like that, too.
Thanks so much for joining us. That's Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at Election Day on the local level.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Voters are heading to the polls across Illinois, across the country, choosing their next president, determining which party will control Congress, and there's also significant action on the local front. So let's check in with Andy Shaw. He's a former political reporter for ABC and president and CEO of the Better Government Association from 2009 to 2018. Andy, always good to have you with us on Election Day. Let's bring this focus specifically to Illinois. What's on the ballot? What are voters weighing in on?
Well, Rachel, as usual, Illinois will go Democratic in the presidential race. A Republican hasn't carried Illinois since George H.W. Bush in 1988. That's eight consecutive Democratic victories in Illinois with those 19 Electoral College votes. And Kamala Harris is expected to pick those votes up today. In fact, there's only one race in Illinois that actually has national significance. There's a very important congressional campaign in western Illinois for Democrat Eric Sorensen's seat. He is facing a tough challenge from Joe McGraw. And of course, with Congress hanging in the balance, if Sorensen were to lose that seat, that increases the chances of Republicans holding on to the that congressional House of Representatives. There is an advisory referendum in Illinois asking voters if millionaires should pay a 3% income tax surcharge. That, of course, whether it passes or not, will have no immediate impact because it's only advisory. It will, however, give the legislature some guidance as they look to fill this alleged $3 billion budget hole next year. But as I said, nothing impactful today other than the voice of the people.
Right. Well, and here's, I also want to focus on what's happening with the Chicago school board election, because this is a first of its kind.
Right. This is a big one. This is the first phase in the transition to an all-elected school board. Today, voters are picking 10 of the 21 seats. The mayor will have control over the other 11 seats for the time being. But this is a showdown over Mayor Johnson's priorities. He and the CTU want to elect board members who care only about neighborhood schools, whereas on the other side, you have the charter and magnet school allies aided by the business community. They want parents to have more choice. It's been a very expensive campaign for these 10 seats, but it will give us a very clear indication of where Chicago stands with respect to the direction of Mayor Johnson and the school board. And one more biggie locally, Rachel, and that is the state's attorney's race to replace retiring Kim Fox. Former Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke is a heavy favorite over perennial candidate lawyer Bob Fioretti. And that's an important one because that will have a lot to do with the direction of law enforcement and prosecution in Cook County, which has been a huge issue as a number of major crime issues have concerned Chicago residents.
Thanks so much for joining us, Andy Shaw, former political reporter for ABC 7. And a reminder that our Election Central coverage begins at 7 o'clock this evening. Up next, teaching kids valuable lessons when it comes to investing can also enrich your own knowledge.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Learning about investing, it's a valuable venture for both parents and children. So let's get some direction from Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. Ed, always glad to have you with us. Now, I have a one-year-old, and we're a little too early for the investing conversation, although she does like to put plastic coins in her little wooden piggy bank. So we have gotten the ball rolling. But for parents with older kids, how do we start having this conversation? How do you teach the foundation of money management?
Well, Rachel, I greatly appreciate the approach in keeping it age relatable, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. we understand that. And so for everyone listening out there, make sure it's the appropriate age to start talking about this. But, you know, when it comes to investing, one of the greatest ways to start is to make it tangible. So when you talk about investing in publicly traded companies, you often get lost in the tangential nature of it. So one of the things we often encourage parents with their young kids to do is do like an investment scavenger hunt around the house. Start in the kitchen or the family room or even the garage and start listing out things that you think might be from publicly traded companies. Now, go figure, when you're writing these lists down on a phone, that might be from a publicly traded company, Apple, Google, or whatever. So make it tangible and then make yourself aware of what may be surrounding you already from these companies. And that's a great way to start to make it, again, more tangible in terms of connecting this product, if you would, this service with this company that you could potentially invest in.
Well, it's this real life application. I think that's really what kids can grasp onto, and parents too. I think, you know, we mentioned it at the start of the segment that this is a valuable venture, not only for kids, but parents too, just sort of going back to the basics for parents who maybe, you know, don't know all the details or maybe don't feel as confident. I'm sure there are resources that they can tap into to have these conversations as well.
You know, excellent, excellent point, Rachel, because again, for the parents who are listening, what a great opportunity to increase your knowledge and confidence by engaging in this and financial literacy topics. And in the case of today's topic, investing early. And so don't be concerned. Don't be worried about what you don't know. Make it a family event. And, you know, given the internet, there is nothing short of information that's out there. You've got, you know, websites like FINRA or the SEC or the New York Stock Exchange, or pick your platform that's out there in terms of investing sites. There's a lot of information out there, but embrace the unknown. Make this a family event, which again, like that scavenger event that we've kind of gone through, what a great way for you and your kids to kind of run around the house and start writing things down and increase both of your knowledge.
Do you have an age that you'd recommend a parent open up an account for their kid? Because I think, you know, you don't want to, you want to do it at a time when they can be involved and still be responsible and understand exactly what's happening.
Yeah, two quick ways of doing this, Rachel. One is, if your child has any kind of income, you can open up a Roth IRA on their behalf, even if they're under the age of 18. That's a great way to start and look at starting to invest, and again, connecting these dots. The second would be for the parents to open an account and maybe even a side account to start coming up with these ideas. So again, when we talked about creating these lists, pick one or two companies off of this list that are publicly traded and spend a little time understanding them and understanding what they do. What is their share price? How valuable is the company? But again, make it simple, make it fun, and start. You don't even need to open up an account necessarily. You can start writing these things down on paper. And when the child becomes, again, more of an appropriate age, or more importantly, Rachel, they show an interest, then start pursuing down a Roth IRA or opening up in a brokerage account that is kind of earmarked for them.
Thanks so much, Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, what you need to do before embarking on a cruise.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Two people are in custody following the shooting and killing of a Chicago police officer. An extremely close vote expected in the race for U.S. president. A special report from CBS News in a moment. In Travel Tuesday, the focus is on strategies to help you get your next cruise off to a great start. Plus, television's with massive screens are a hot ticket item at retailers. WBBM Business. The Dow is up 361 points. The NASDAQ up 226 points. The S&P 500 up 58 points. It's 12:31.
CBS News special report. Renee Petro of Tarrytown, New York, is like about 81 million other American voters.
I did it early, like last Saturday, the first day it was available to early vote electronically. I went and did it.
Tens of millions of people have waited till today to cast their votes in person, including Republican nominee Donald Trump, who voted in South Florida.
It looks like we have a very substantial lead. It looks like we have many more Republicans voting today than Democrats.
His running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, voted in Cincinnati.
I feel good. You never know until you know, but I feel good about this race.
His Democratic opponent, Tim Walz, reminds voters in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that Donald Trump has tried to undermine the process as he did in 2020.
Rule of law matters. Constitution matters. The American experiment matters. Our neighbors matter.
Yes. Walz and Vice President Kamala Harris will watch the returns tonight in Washington. Trump and Vance will be in Palm Beach. CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Here in Chicago, a CPD officer is dead after being shot while conducting a traffic stop on the city's south side last night. 26-year-old Enrique Martinez was hit by multiple bullets around 8 o'clock near 80th and Ingleside. CPD Superintendent Larry Snelling.
Our officer who was struck was then driven to the hospital by our officers, where he was pronounced. The wounds were too great for this officer to recover.
One of the three people in the car was killed, possibly by gunfire that came from inside the vehicle. Two other suspects are in custody this afternoon.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are trading higher, and joining us this afternoon live on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Jack, it's Election Day, and typically the markets respond positively. That seems to be the case today, at least.
Yeah, it is, Rachel. Thanks for the invitation. Yes. We went back and looked at the last 10 elections, actually. Not a surprise that the volatility indices for both stocks and bonds, which would reflect uncertainty, tends to rise going into the election and then fall once a winner is determined.
So what do investors need to keep an eye on today? I think there's a lot of anxiety surrounding a presidential election. How do we keep that anxiety from translating into moves on Wall Street?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've noticed is that, you know, markets will certainly respond in the very short term to a candidate becoming president, but generally that tends to dissipate over the first 30 days, and it's sort of back to business as usual, and trends that were in place long before the election tend to resume, and I think it really does require more of a longer-term look rather than just focus on the winner of the election.
Okay, well, if we're talking about just focusing on a winner, I was talking with the WBBM Noon Business Hour producer Andy Gersher before the show, talking about how some people are betting on the outcome of the presidential election on sites like Robinhood and other platforms. Maybe let's remind our listeners that's maybe not how we would define investing, and there's certainly risk associated with that.
There it is. I mean, I think these markets were perhaps designed as some kind of a hedge. At least that's how they were justified. But I think that as long as investors realize it's a speculation, and if you keep your investment or bet or however you want to describe it small relative, you can keep it more in kind of the amusement side of things rather than something more sober.
Yeah, well, it's not going to fund my child's college education, right? Okay, let's move on. Beyond the election, though, investors, we were keeping an eye on the Fed Reserve. They're going to have a meeting tomorrow. What do you anticipate there as we look to tackle inflation and interest rates?
Yeah, I think that a quarter point cut is probably in the cards. I think that's certainly what the market's anticipating. Part of that ongoing rate cutting program that started in September with that half point surprise, somewhat of a surprise half point cut. I think as we start migrating into 2025, I think the Fed is going to have to take a hard look at one, who wins the White House, and what those policies will be, because if they sense that there's going to be a lot of stimulus, tax cuts, other kinds of spending going on at the federal government level, that may perhaps eclipse the need to lower interest rates. And that's something that's very important to investors. We have to see, you know, what that path of interest rates will be. And if the Fed does pause or become a little bit concerned, that could upset the markets early next year.
Thanks so much for joining us. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital in Chicago. Up next, it's Travel Tuesday, so we'll look at putting together a pre-cruise checklist to help get things off on the right foot.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. And this afternoon, we've got some tips to make your cruise embarkation day hassle-free. So let's get some expert advice from Ilana Schatauer, founder and content creator for the YouTube channel Life Well Cruised. Her website, lifewellcruised.com. She's based in Montreal. Ilana, glad to have you with us. And let's talk about the do's and don'ts to make that day one of your cruise as smooth as possible.
Absolutely. That's the best day of the cruise, but it can also be very hectic. It's really important. Something a lot of people don't think about, especially for their first cruise, is that you really want to fly in or at least arrive the day before your cruise so that you're in, you know, you're at the port on the day of the cruise. Sometimes what happens is there can be flight delays. And when that happens, there are sadly people that do actually miss their cruise ship.
Yeah, that big old boat's not going to wait for you. The ship has sailed. That's where the metaphor comes from. The other thing that I want to talk about, my parents just came back from an Alaskan cruise, and one of their big takeaways was booking those excursions ahead of time because they fill up fast.
Oh, you're right. Especially for Alaska, those are so popular. So it's a good idea to book those online ahead of time. However, if by chance there are still excursions that, you know, you haven't done yet, you haven't booked on the very first day of the cruise, once you get on board and you do a couple of the things that you need to do, you can still go over to the shore excursion desk and you can still kind of ask questions and figure out what you can still book or even make changes.
I think that the first day of a cruise reminds me of the first day of school, where you sit down, you look through the syllabus and sort of get a feel for what's to come. I think it's a great time to familiarize yourself with the ship, sort of think about, where do I want to dine, and just sort of get all that preparation underway so that really you can spend the rest of the time relaxing.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's a good idea to make sure that you bring a carry-on bag for the first day of your cruise so that at the time that you do board, you have the things that you'll need for those first few hours of the cruise. When you arrive at the cruise terminal, you're actually going to check your luggage. And so when you bring your carry-on bag, you can bring a backpack with maybe your swimsuit. You could bring your valuables, of course, with you. You want to make sure you have everything for that first day so that you could really enjoy those first few hours.
Well, and Ilana, you're obviously well-traveled and well-experienced in cruises. Any lessons learned or things that you would do differently that our listeners should avoid?
Oh, gosh. I think just fly in the day early. Like your parents, make sure that you do plan to do all of the things you really want to do. You want to plan those in advance. Something that a lot of people also don't think about is just the fact that when you do actually sail away on that cruise ship, when it leaves from the port, that you want to make sure that you put your phone in airplane mode. I have heard horror stories of people getting back from their cruise and they have this super big bill because they left their phone on. And then, of course, the data is used and that you do really need to turn your phone onto airplane mode.
Those roaming charges add up. Thanks so much for joining us. Alana Schattauer, she's founder and content creator for her YouTube channel, Life Well Cruise, based in Montreal, Quebec. You can join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, we're going to talk about the invasion of gigantic TVs.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Television screens, well, they're getting larger and larger, with many approaching the 100-inch diagonal mark. So let's look at the big picture, pun intended, with Carl Prouty. He's the technologist at Abt Electronics in Glenview. Carl, what is going on with people getting these giant TVs?
Yeah, I think they're just looking for a more movie theater-like experience at their house. And with the price of these things dropping as it has, they're becoming way more affordable than they ever have been.
What is that price point? Because, you know, not that long ago, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars for a TV that size.
Oh, yeah. Now you're looking at anywhere from, well, at the mid-range, about $5,000 up to $20,000. But we have two models on sale that are 98 inches that are $2,500 right now.
And what is it, just that the technology's come so far that they're more available, they're easier to manufacture, and that's brought the price down? Because, again, this is, you mentioned it, it's truly a cinematic experience in your living room.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And there's more options available now. So as you see more and more options pop up, you're going to see pricing start coming down on these, because they're going to offer several levels of them. But that lower tier is now becoming a lot more affordable, and you're still getting that huge picture.
Right. And I'm guessing that this follows the trend, though, because I think, you know, you can look back historically. Anytime there's a new TV, it's bigger. We always go bigger. Mm-hmm. We go bigger, we go better. So, you know, are we going to reach the point where my entire wall is a TV? And at what point does it become, you know, a little ridiculous to have an IMAX inside your home?
Well, Samsung, as a matter of fact, has a product called The Wall.
Oh.
And it's 146 inches, and it's $220,000. So it's certainly not for everybody's home. But if you're looking for something to take up an entire wall, they have something for you.
if we're talking realistically about these 100-inch diagonal monitors and TVs, how heavy are they? Is this something that, you know, a normal TV stand can withhold? And you know, or is it something that we then have to think about the installation and all the electronics and accessories that have to go along with it?
With something that size, it is absolutely best to have professionals do the installation. And while some of them aren't outrageously heavy, they are much heavier than if you're dealing with a 65-inch TV, and they're awkward. You need several people to help lift it. So it's always beneficial to have professionals who've done these before, who know what they're doing, do the installation just to prevent anything from happening.
But anecdotally, I mean, in your experience, is this something you're seeing people come in and ask for this? This is what they're looking for, the biggest, the best, the brightest?
Oh, yeah. Our sales in 2024 are up about 72% on these giant TVs. So we're seeing a huge increase in people coming in and asking for these. And because of those price points, it's accessible to so many more people now, too.
Thanks so much for the insight. Carl Prouty, technologist, Abt Electronics in Glenview. And if you missed any part of today's show, well, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's even a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.